and then the Sheldon Museum would be the owner and could work on the historic preservation and using the lighthouse.
There's renewed interest in taking over ownership of Eldred Rock Lighthouse. And a local student wins a chance to represent Alaska in Washington, D.C. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Representative Bill Thomas has been working to extend the Salmon Product Development Tax Credit, and the Alaska State House unanimously passed a bill Wednesday doing just that, giving it 4 more years. The credit was intended to spur Alaska salmon marketability and improve quality, and allows applicants to claim a partial credit on their annual fisheries business tax for purchase of eligible equipment. That could include tools used for curing and brining, fillet lines, skinning machines, and vacuum packaging machines. Thomas sponsored the bill, which also adds ice machines to the list of investments that qualify for the tax credit.
A lot of the credit should go back to the task force in the early 2000s that realized that we had to do something to help the sagging salmon industry that was failing at the time, to come up with the idea of tax credits by doing value-added products in Alaska. All we did is keep extending it. With the recent change of ice-making machines, the ice-making machines will help create an increased value to the fisherman, to the processor, and to the state coffers by being able to keep the fish cold and chilled and being an increase in the value added at the end of the product.
The bill now heads to the Alaska State Senate for consideration. Lynn Canal winds whipped up to 90 miles an hour the day the ill-fated Clara Nevada left Skagway in 1898. She was bound for Seattle with 100 passengers and 800 pounds of the precious mineral that put Skagway's gold rush in worldwide headlines. But what happened as she passed Haines and approached Eldred Rock that February a century ago would soon become one of Alaska's greatest mysteries. No passengers survived after the ship smashed into Eldred Rock and went up in flames. The captain and fireman went missing, and the gold was never found. But a more modern dilemma sits among the various mysteries that still haunt Eldred Rock and the lighthouse constructed there after the accident. A group of Lynn Canal residents has been working for years to bring Eldred Rock Lighthouse under local ownership. Pam Randles is one of them and says the project is finally being picked back up after a long hiatus.
What we want to do at this point is to complete that process, and then the Sheldon Museum would be the owner and could work on the historic preservation and using the lighthouse for a variety of purposes.
On Monday night, the group is opening up its reunion meeting to interested members of the public in hopes to revive the ownership transfer project.
We had a start on this, and we got about halfway through the process, and then it got stalled. And so we're picking up. We're not starting from scratch. And so a lot of the committee members are people who have been on since the beginning. There are quite a few interested people out there. My mailing list is about 20 people. It's been really several years since anything has happened. There were some, to put it diplomatically, bureaucratic difficulties. That has slowed the process down, but we've been sort of checking into it and contacted Senator Murkowski's office, and they are interested in helping us with it, so we're going to try again.
In the early part of last century, the Coast Guard built a series of lighthouses in southeast Alaska, Eldred Rock House being one of them.
The Eldred Rock Lighthouse was built in 1905 and is the oldest original lighthouse of the lighthouses built in southeast Alaska at that time. And all the others have been remodeled and renovated, but Eldred Rock is original.
But almost a decade ago, the Coast Guard decided to surplus the lighthouses and allow organizations interested in historic preservation to take them over.
With the advent of more advanced technology, the Coast Guard doesn't need manned lighthouses in the same way that they used to. So the Coast Guard has put a light there, but there doesn't need to be people living there. And that's true for most of these lighthouses in southeast Alaska. And those organizations, the primary focus as far as the U.S. government was concerned, is that it would be taken over by people who were interested in historic preservation. And so lighthouse organizations, museums, and maritime organizations and that sort of thing are given preference to have the lighthouses.
Organizations like the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center in Haines. Since the government's decision, a committee of the museum board has been hassling with the long application process.
There's a fairly complex process for that turnover here in, well, in most places, but in Southeast, it's somewhat difficult because any federal agency that may have an interest in the lighthouse or an interest in the adjacent land needs to sign off on it. So it needs to go through a whole bunch of federal agencies, BLM, the Coast Guard, the GSA, the National Park Service. All of these organizations need to sign off once the Coast Guard has released it. And it gets to be a very long process.
The application involves a preservation and maintenance plan, a use plan, and a financial plan, which are now in outline form.
It's a wonderful old building when you go out there. Now, technology was different in 1905, and so there's some asbestos abatement, and later on there was oil tanks for heating, and there's been some leakage. So there's some things that, there's some pretty expensive things that we're going to have to do to bring it up to snuff. But we have high hopes over the years of being able to preserve it before it gets any more weather damage.
Professional historians in Skagway, Haines, and outside have been following developments. So have two former lighthouse keepers and maritime enthusiasts.
So we've got members from a fairly wide variety of interest groups as well as local Haines people who are interested in keeping track and helping out. So it's a fairly diverse committee.
Although a diverse group, they do have common goals and share some ideas for using the lighthouse again someday.
And I think the long-term vision has to do with being able to take people out there and have a sort of museum annex out there, potentially an artist residence, because there are some outbuildings, visitor possibilities, a dock. Those are part of the long-term vision. Dan Henry and I wrote a play about a shipwreck that happened there, and the goal of that play is that it's to be produced out there in the engineering room. We've produced it a couple of times here in Haines, but the purpose of writing that play about that historical event was to perform it at the lighthouse. It's a piece of lighthouse history, and to have it be a fundraiser to help maintain the lighthouse.
The public meeting to discuss Eldred Rock Lighthouse ownership is Monday, April 12th at 6 p.m. at the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center.
It's a really cool project, and there's a lot of really interesting things that happened in the history of that lighthouse. It was originally powered by a candle, then went to a 15-watt light bulb. And because of the Fresnel lenses that were incredible, amazing feats of technology for their time, a little tiny bit of light can broadcast all over Lynn Canal.
A Haines student travels to Washington, D.C. this summer to represent the state of Alaska in a nationwide history competition. Eighth grader Chevy Fowler is 13 years old. He took second place in the State History Day contest earlier this year after taking second in the local Haines competition. This was his second year to compete in History Day, which is nationwide. Kids choose historical topics related to a theme, research it, and assemble a presentation.
The rules were for this year that we had to pick a topic of an innovation that changed the world. My project was on the history of the camera, and we had to write either an exhibit, we had to make an exhibit, or a documentary, and most people picked the exhibit because it was the easiest, and you had to have a lot of pictures and 500 words or less on your board.
About 60 students participated in Local History Day at the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center in early February. Fowler says he put 3 weeks of work into his project, most of it on his own.
Well, it was the yellow background that I bought at King's, and I cut out just black strips and put holes in them on the sides of the board so it looked like a film strip.
From there, the school entered the project into the State History Day in Anchorage. Winners were announced in late March.
My teacher would film my project, and I'd have to write up everything I wrote on there. And she would send the film with my write-up in the mail to Anchorage for the state. And I got second place in state.
Every year, more than 500,000 students participate in History Day, and the top finishers in each state get to go on. Fowler's among several other area students who have been to state and national history days since Lynn Canal Schools first became involved in 1989.
Now I am going to Washington, D.C. with my project and with nationals.
In early June, Chevy makes his first trip to the nation's capital. He'll have an assigned chaperone, stay in a college dorm, and...
And I get a tour of the White House. Yeah, hopefully I can see the president if he's there, if he's not busy. I want to see him and shake his hand.
Student Libby Jacobson won Haynes History Day earlier in the year and also competed in the state competition. Fowler will represent Haynes and Alaska at the National History Day contest at the University of Maryland in June. Students from across the United States, American Samoa, Guam, international schools, and Department of Defense schools in Europe will also attend. Reporting for KHNS, this is Tara Bicknell. If you miss a newscast or want to hear one again, just go to khns.org and click on the listen page.